Welcome to Androids and Assets, a weekly podcast about the political economy of all of our favorite science fiction and fantasy series. Join us as we investigate the hidden meanings in fantastic worlds and what the future can tell us about today. We upload new episodes every Monday. We hope you enjoy it. Hello, and welcome to Androids and Assets. I'm Steven.
And I'm Marshall.
And today we're talking about Blade Runner. 2049 just came out, or it's currently out in theaters. And we just saw it, and we're just champing at the bit to tell you all about the weird economic, political world that we just saw for 2.5 hours. So, Marshall, what do you think? What's kind of most salient for you in Blade Runner?
So I think maybe the most salient for me, I was confused by a lot of how their world works. I think overall, I got the message that they were talking about replicants as sort of robots and replicants, and replicants being that next iteration of robots.
Yeah.
And so it's an automation of the workforce, that we have humanity, but we don't like to do work that we can get other people to do. And for a long time, other people was robots and or machines. So we had machines that could, it was a faster drill press than I could drill through something. And then it became like an automated arm that could actually move the car around for me, and I didn't have to like work on a factory line. Mm-hmm. And then it became completely autonomous robots that could just do anything. And then it was like, actually, I want them to be even more human.
I want to be able to fuck them.
I want to be able to have sex with a robot. I don't think people should have to debase themselves in prostitution. I want a sex bot. And so then you get these replicants. And so it's sort of like we're seeing the last evolution of the automated workforce.
It just goes on to a big circle.
Full circle. And we've made humans.
Yeah.
Brand new invention. Humanity. So it's talking about automated workforce and ethics and slavery. So I think I picked up that.
And that's very true to the original Blade Runner. I think that kind of moves forward as this sort of sense of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think Deckard's job was to hunt down escaped slaves mm-hmm. who were trying to get out of, they were taking the underground
space road
spaceship, yeah. taking the underground spaceship
from Orion's belt,
trying to get to Earth where they could just live a free life. Yeah. And his job was to retire them.
And that practice has evidently continued, as we learned in Blade Runner 2049.
We still kill replicants.
Yeah.
For being replicants.
Just like in the old days. Not much has changed.
Except we've automated...
We've automated the
killing.
Yeah.
We now use replicants to kill replicants. Because, again, if there's a job that you don't want to do, you get a robot to do it for you.
Even if that job is putting down your uppity slave workforce.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, we're going to have... In our world, we're going to have robots that build robot cars for us. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to build a robot car, and I don't want to drive. So I'm going to let robots do all of it for me.
And Nightscope is going to build the robot policeman that tases the car-building robot.
Exactly. Okay. I want a robot workforce, like a robot police force, that's going to chase down errant robot cars.
Yeah, because I don't want to be even thinking about having to manage the robots when things go wrong.
No way.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So
and I think it's sort of talking about the ethics of slavery, and that slavery is bad.
Yeah.
Which is maybe an obvious statement to most people. Slavery is a bad thing. But if you can enslave something that isn't human, then it's not bad anymore.
Yeah.
Because slavery is only bad because we're human. And it makes that point maybe by saying, well, these replicants have become human. One of the replicants even in the show says, we're more human than humans. They're saying, we're human, we shouldn't be slaves. And that's how they're kind of making that point of slavery is still a bad thing.
Well, I think there's been, and there seems to be a clear line, well, or a blur, I guess a blurry line, as we learned in Blade Runner 2049, a blurry line between human, because there's definitely our human slaves, like there's all the things that we have in our world in terms of child labor amongst poor children, you know, and the selling and the human trafficking of children and people as well. So, you know, obviously this is a very morally bankrupt society, but I think the drive behind the robot workforce is to have a slavery without slavery, a slavery light.
And maybe Blade Runner 2049 is very forward-looking and saying, we're going to be extra progressive. We're going to actually lobby against robot slavery before there even is robot slavery.
Yeah.
Because we don't have that kind of technology. We don't have autonomous robots yet. Mm-hmm. We're still stuck with sort of mechanized arms.
Well, it becomes the question of should we pursue a mechanized workforce of that kind? And I think so. We're kind of at this precipice where we kind of have the ability to kind of make informed ethical decisions about what we're going to do. And if you don't invent it, there's no problem. I mean, I guess the other question is, can any group kind of unilaterally decide? Because, you know, if I don't do it, then the United States doesn't do it. Then what if the Chinese do it? And there will be this conflict, warring nation states, and mostly people pursuing. I'm actually much more concerned about autonomous weapons, myself, personally. I think that when we get to a level of intelligent machines, I'm far more concerned about the fact that these things will just be too damn good at their jobs. And they'll kill all of us. But I mean, this is also important too. If they don't kill all of us, that maybe we can find ourselves perpetrating, violating a very important ethical imperative. And but every slavery has some sort of justification for why. That's why, like, race was a huge delineating line. It was an ethical line. Historically, European settler society said, no, we don't enslave other white people. Slavery is wrong. We enslave people of lesser races who are paying us back for converting to Christianity or showing the light of civilization or taking care of them or whatever it was. This slave society also has that, oh, they're just machines. They lack interiority and spirituality and souls, is, I think, the line in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, the replicants don't have souls because they were made, not born. An interesting line to say, this is how we define humanity. You had to have been born.
Which is why I don't have a soul, because I was delivered by C-section.
Well, they're not all they're cracked
up. Well-known fact.
and I think they wanted to... Old Earth, we're going to keep calling... I'm going to call it Old Earth, sure. Because presumably there's a new Earth somewhere. They wanted the slavery, but it was also distasteful. So they didn't want replicants on Earth to do like human jobs and take over. They were very afraid of the replicants, so they were for off-world labor. But they maintained sort of a type of slavery that we saw when there was the hologram wife, who was essentially still a slave in a lot of ways. She was at home and she just did whatever. She was your typical fantastic 1950s sort of idealized version of a wife.
Madonna whore hologram.
That was sort of also like a distance of slavery. That like if you wanted a slave wife, but you couldn't get a replicant because that's really bad, and you can't enslave a human. But guess what? I can make a pretend one for you.
Yeah, you can just imagine your... and so this is, I think, a big point for Blade Runner, and this is kind of this relationship between him and Joy, his hologram wife. And you kind of first see it and it's like, oh my god, this is really sad. But then you kind of come to this point where they both actually kind of they kind of understand each other and have a kind of shared experience of being enslaved and actually kind of do form the basis of a kind of authentic partnership. And it's not this exploitive, gross, weird, eerie thing. Even though it completely looks that way, it kind of becomes okay as the show progresses, which is kind of cool.
And I think it's made pretty clear that Officer K, when he interacts with other people, if they become aware that he has a hologram wife, they're like, oh, I guess you don't like real people. Oh, yeah. I look down on you now because you don't interact with a human wife or a flesh lady. You interact with that hologram.
With that machine. With the same disdain that he receives for being a replicant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what makes it not weird and gross. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be weird and gross in a different context, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's still weird and gross. I don't have a body pillow wife. I also don't want a hologram wife. I think that's just another iteration of that sort of weird relationship. I just want an idealized thing.
Their own fantasies.
Rather than having a real person with whom I actually have to interact, I just want my ideal that is never problematic in any way. It's always perfect and is always happy with me no matter what I do. So yeah, you see Officer K receive treatment of disdain and people don't like him because he's a replicant. And if they know he's a replicant, they hate him. And when they don't know he's a replicant, they look down on him for having a hologram wife. Like Steven said, they're really quite similar. I'm really curious about how... beyond replicants, how this economy functions.
Mm-hmm.
because there seems to be a lot of material desire and want and new technology that is hinted at being very expensive. That when Officer K brings home the emanator for Joy, she's overjoyed and is sort of like, expensive. How could you have done that for me? Like, we can't actually afford that. Where does value come into this world at all?
And how could this like society with this vast slave labor force be so much impoverished and so much in deprivation? And I think this drives the point that in the sense that there's a division between the off-world colonies and Old Earth.
Yeah, so people are like really desperate to leave. So Officer K has a wooden carved horse, and it's when he gets it analyzed and like, oh, this is real wood. You're a rich man. I can get you anything. I can get you a real horse. I can get you a goat. I can get you off-world papers. So people seem to be desperate to leave Earth to get off-world, but I don't know why necessarily. Like, is off-world actually that much better?
Yeah.
What does off-world have that Earth doesn't? And why does it not come back to Earth? Why do these things on the off-world never get back to the huge human population that is desperate and wanting? And how do those people who are living on a dead planet actually generate anything of value?
Yeah. Well, I think in this whole thing, they have synthetic farming. Like, they make things that Earth is still chemically very vibrant, even if it's not alive. So they are now mechanistically performing all the functions nature used to perform, which would be very labor intensive.
But have they gone back to essentially humans doing all of the work on Earth? Or do they have some sort of robots? Amount of automated workforce? Because I can't imagine that we go full scale to replicants and then go, but on Earth, we're going to use the billions of desperate people.
I think so. I think because replicants are not allowed on Earth. This is important, or at least it seems that way. And the only replicants we seem to see are replicants where they're illegal replicants, or we see Blade Runners.
But they also seem to have a lot of really valuable and useful machinery. Their car has like a flying robot in it that can respond to voices and hand signals and do a huge job.
And that robot's probably more expensive than hiring a human slave to muck out your gutters at a certain point. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. But I think this is the reason for the replicant divide, is the fact that you need this sort of like untapped source of labor on Earth. And also, I think, partially to feed the colonies. You have... The colonies we know are always at war with each other, actually. This is a huge part of the replicant, is actually to create replicant militaries. So of the replicants that come to Earth in the initial Blade Runner, they are predominantly military units. So they are clone. They are, again, it's jobs you don't want. Soldiers is not a job maybe that a lot of people don't want. So they're replicant soldiers, and Daryl Hannah's character, she's a replicant pleasure model, I believe they call them. And so, so this is concept that, like, so evidently there is war in the stars kind of continuously. So this factors into it as well in some way, I think. But also, they're also painted as a paradise. So I don't know how they can be... I imagine they're paradises for the wealthy people who move there and live basically on replicant-run plantations, and then who have their replicant soldiers fight other replicant soldiers of other barons in the stars. And they, really don't necessarily, other than the enormous bill that entails, really don't taste the cost of...
And that goes back to my questions of, we have a huge population on Earth that hasn't even really turned to wage slavery, of paying people poor indentured wages just enough to keep them sort of at subsistence level. They seem to still, like all of the humans, I don't know why humanity hasn't abandoned Earth when the other worlds, off-world, the colonies, seem really prosperous.
Yeah.
So why hasn't humanity just sort of wholesale abandoned Earth? But they're all stuck there.
But I think maybe then the colonists are trying to keep them there. But then you also have this weird thing where Jared Leto's like, oh, we don't have enough replicants. We need more replicants. And that's why they need them to breed. Well, why do you need these replicants when you have these millions of desperate people who you don't need to make and are obviously much easier? I mean, obviously replicants are stronger and superior in some respects. They're more subservient, allegedly.
But which you could make I
this
get.
Work. They could make this work. I think you're absolutely right. It's kind of a plot hole. They could make this work. It has weird overlapping contradictions, kind of in this scenario.
Yeah, just take a spaceship full of people, desperate people who don't want to be on Earth anymore. Drop them off on a planet, give them a space suit, and be like, "Look, start terraforming. I need you to dig stuff and build stuff, and
I'll be along with my replicant army to bear in this planet soon."
Yeah, but you and your progeny,
yeah,
will sort of, you know, I'll be the king of the planet, and you can be my aristocracy.
Yeah.
But right? I guess, you put in the sweat equity now.
Yeah. And this is the, and I guess this is the only thing, justification I can think of, is they don't want to share. These planets are clear, are run by robber barons and private interests. Like, so basically, like, one thing says, Wallace is like, well, you know, I don't have the tools to torture you properly here on Earth. We need to go off world. So presumably he has a planet, a torture planet, or what I know. He has a planet where he can just, where he's just basically like the king shit of it. And he can just, cause he's rich enough and he can just go there and do whatever the fuck he wants.
I get that nobody likes to share. And if they can have the planet to themselves, that's great. Yeah. But I just think you could get more than 8 planets if you used the billions of desperate people on Earth. Yeah. So then, maybe you're sharing a social planet with a small number of people.
But maybe they have a social prohibition against that. Like, they're still like, well, you know, or they're worried about the contribution. They're worried about the fact that they might one day have to recognize those people as sovereign citizens at some point. And they're concerned about this history, and they would rather, and they're so risk averse. These people are so rich and so powerful and so risk averse that they, you know, but you're
what,
right.
What good is a planet if you can't even sell the worth of that planet to someone else? If you are living on it completely by yourself, and you don't have a population that you are the lord of, and you don't have a population to which you can sell anything, what amount of power do you actually have? Because power is always a social dynamic. You have to have power over people. If you just have a planet where it's you and your family and no one else, over whom do you have power now? Nothing.
Just taking the, they decaffeinated the fun out of it.
They decaffeinated the fun of colonization.
I'm the pretend baron of this slave plantation. Which I think is kind of, but that's kind of the dream of America right now. I feel like that's kind of the goal, is that they kind of, everyone, like, the goal, the standard for, like, the American dream is really at a certain level sort of a plantation or industrialist robber baron owner type person.
And yes, as long as they can,
and everyone can become that through robot slave labor off world, if they are rich, if they can manage to get out there.
If they can get out there, sure, everyone could get that. But once you're a landowner or a plantation owner, it's a plantation. It's not just a large estate. It's a plantation because you grow stuff and you sell it to other people and you get more stuff.
The basis of your wealth and your power.
But if you have a planet and you can't sell any of it to anybody...
Well, they can't because Earth is desperate, and maybe this is...
But Earth has no value. The people on Earth are poor and can't produce anything that the other planets want.
Well, the one thing they do seem to make on Earth is they seem to invent shit.
Like innovation. But we know innovation is only done by the wealthy. Statistically, innovation happens when you have time to actually innovate. When you're not busy scrabbling hard, toiling, just barely to get by.
Okay.
I just think there's a huge problem with off-world and with the valuation.
What function is Earth even serving now?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Blade Runner, though, in retrospect, I think it's about workforce automation. It's about slavery. It is really fundamentally a show about production.
Oh, absolutely.
And how society mitigates its issues with production and tries to enhance its wealth and increase its power.
And how do we? What are the ethics of that?
Yeah, come up with very convoluted workarounds for that, to the point where, you know, it kind of becomes self-defeating and self-negating at a certain point. And how a lot of the reason that that functions isn't so much for purely ethical reasons, but actually just out of a sense of, well, as long as there's someone I get to be better than. And I feel like the Blade Runner society is definitely a race to the bottom.
So I think, for me, my takeaway would be that an automated workforce is okay. Make sure that it's still automation, that it's not just recreation of humanity. Like, slavery is still bad. Mm-hmm. So using things to help us is okay. Using things to just replace humanity and be the overlords of those human replacements, like, of new humans, is bad. So ethically, yeah, we can do stuff to help humans. And we can do stuff to sort of advance the cause of humanity and make humanity live a better quality of life. Yeah. But if that living a better quality of life means inventing a new subclass of humans, that's where you've crossed the line to actually you're a bad person.
The solution is worse than the...
absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the things, I mean, the thing too, when you find things that optimize and output your productivity, historically the thing we've done is we've just funneled that money into the hands of a handful of people. And so the key for us moving forward, I think the real test is going to be, as we automate things and as we do things, can we distribute that differently? Can we change the way we extract? Can we change the way we extract wealth out of productivity in a way that doesn't just favor those who have just historically been the ones having wealth, and into a way that is more equitable and fair in a consistent and social way? And I think there are some theories that do that. You know, people are talking about Tobin taxes, people are talking about universal incomes, ways we can find people who keep them employed and engaged, or provide for them. But fundamentally, we can't just let
the concentration of capital is a huge problem.
And only becomes a greater problem as the people who concentrate capital no longer need to pay out for the things they want. That you could reach this point where you're just continuously concentrating capital and you won't even the means of production, you have to actually spend any money. And so you become so concentrated and everyone becomes so poor.
Eventually the system will break.
Yeah, it will break itself. Yeah.
Blade Runner 2049. Still in theaters. Go check it out. Smart movie.
It racks our anxieties. It just keeps us up at night. So, yeah, real good. All right. Thank you for listening.
It's been another good week. As always, if you have any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Questions, comments, emails, send them our way. Find us on Twitter at AssetDroid or email me at stevesieve@androidsandassets.ca.
Music from this episode has been from an Ant and an Adam. Thanks so much for your support.